Hello, we've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ax teen seven, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You have entered the after party zone. Take off a shoe, baby. Yeah.
All right. After party time. That's when we take off one shoe because that's how crazy we are.
Exactly. And one shoe off, baby.
And if, you know, if you're old, we're going to stay up late, like 9:30.
Ooh, 9:30.
9:30. Boy, I'm going to stay up.
Past your bedtime, baby.
Woo. So that was still, I'm still reeling from that. Cool. It was funny about the cake. I'm not making fun. It was
funny. It was very cute. And I love that it's being recorded, which means that it will be there for posterity.
Yeah, forever. Ever and ever and ever. So,
hilarious.
But before we get back into it, I did want to play a comedy bit. This is the next installment of the Grandma and Johnny. So this is part three of Grandma and Johnny, and I'm so proud of our little furry friend over there.
Our little girl's
whimpering or
sleeping.
No whining.
She's very
or crying.
Which means she's not going to sleep tonight. Awesome.
Well, all right. Here we go. Grandma and Johnny, part three.
Welcome to Grandma and Johnny. Johnny's a high-paid sign twirler who moved in with his grandma till he got his life together. That was 12 years ago. Grandma's just old.
Bobo! Bobo! Bobo!
He's gone, Grandma.
Sally and Sandy?
They're gone, too. The next script with them in it just disappeared.
But, Johnny, if they're not in this episode, then that means we're going to have to do some major ad-libbing. And I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at it.
Oh, don't worry, don't worry. This episode is about you and the telephone.
Okay, what's my motivation?
Here, let me help you.
Johnny, my ears are ringing again.
Just answer the phone.
Wow, you hear my ears ringing, too? Oh, the phone. The phone. Hello? What did you say?
Who is it?
It sounds like he's running a marathon. He's out of breath.
Who is it?
Remember to drink lots of fluid, sir. Oh, what am I wearing? Well, it's a wonderful, colorful house coat. Fuchsia, mauve, and periwinkle with a...
Give me the phone. Listen, you, stop talking rude to my grandmother. What am I wearing? You sicko. Goodbye.
Johnny.
What now, Grandma?
Okay, so if Labor Day is only one day a year, then shouldn't everyone have the same birthday?
No. See, Labor Day is when everyone takes a day off to celebrate working.
Well, then who will be at the hospital to deliver all those babies?
No, no. Labor Day has nothing to do with delivering babies. I'll get it. Hello? Hi, Bobo.
Oh, it's Bobo. Let me talk to him.
I'm sorry, Bobo, but you aren't in this episode. Well, yes, I know you're upset, but if you weren't in the script, you can't be in the episode. I'm sorry.
Where's he staying?
Okay, where are you staying?
Oh, great. At Mrs. Budansky's house. Okay, goodbye, Bobo. What happens now?
I don't know. I don't have any more lines.
Well, do we have to stay here if we don't have any more lines?
I guess not.
Come on, then. Want to get a tattoo?
You have tattoos.
Oh, yeah? There's a lot you don't know about me, Johnny. Let's go.
Tune in next time when Grandma says...
Plethora.
Okay. All righty.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, Granny. She's something else.
Oh,
I think
man.
The only thing she doesn't do is shoot arrows, but... Another granny.
I love her words at the end. Convolutions, plethora.
Uh-huh. Yeah, granny.
Granny is very funny.
All right. So, Raphael Sabarge has a website, and it is called barkingfrogs.com.
Okay.
And immediately when
everybody
I think,
knows Barking Frogs.
Immediately when I think of Barking Frogs, I think of Raphael Sabarge.
Do you now?
Yeah. All the time. So anyhow, he interviewed Jane Espenson.
Oh, very cool.
So it appears that Raphael Sabarge is a bit of a podcaster as well.
That's kind of cool.
So he actually, the way this started was... There were some fans of his work on Mass Effect, which mm-hmm. is a video game.
Yes.
And so they wanted him to read a love letter that was involved with the game. And so he recorded it, and then he started to post other ones. So this was the first part one of a Q&A with Jane Espenson. So I thought it was really kind of interesting, and I wanted to play just a bit of it. So... Here it is from BarkingFrogs.com, Raphael Sabarge interviewing Jane Espenson.
Jane, it's Raphael.
Hey, Raphael.
Hey there. So thank you for agreeing to do this. How fun to get a chance to talk to you about kind of what you're doing. In the full disclosure of kind of how this is essentially, you and I are working together obviously almost part time, but mm-hmm. I know that you were working in sort of in other venues, particularly I'm interested in talking about hearing about kind of what you're doing with your web series and talking about that. But I thought to kind of just use sort of a. Wrote up some questions, almost like a blind interview in a certain sense, knowing some of the answers, but then sort of mm-hmm. being interested in, for other people who might not know some of these answers, sort of getting a chance to discover you. So, if you're game, then I can sort of jump in from that.
I think that sounds marvelous. I'm more than game. That sounds wonderful.
Okay, great. Well, so then let's just start for anyone who's sort of not aware of kind of. From whence you come. I mean, I love your story, but how you started writing or how you sort of came to it.
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, a professor's daughter in the middle of Iowa, Ames, Iowa, and I knew I wanted to write for TV, but it didn't seem doable. I grew up watching a lot of TV. It was in some ways a golden age. There was a lot of sort of The Odd Couple and MASH and Mary Tyler Moore and like Barney Miller, these amazing shows. There was also a lot of Welcome Back, Kotter, and The Love Boat and other shows that I loved equally well and without distinction. and I knew I wanted to write for TV. I read an interview with one of the writers for MASH talking about, a woman writer talking about people sending in spec scripts, and I realized that's what I wanted to do. I didn't really get a chance to try it because there was, it wasn't clear how you did that important step of actually sending something in until I was well into grad school and I discovered that you could submit scripts to Star Trek The Next Generation totally without an agent. You just had to send it in to Paramount and they would read it.
That's amazing. I mean, is there anyone who still does that?
No, and nobody did it then. It was weird then. Star Trek is, as far as I know, the only show that ever did it. The Star Trek shows always had that policy, and nobody else ever did. And right now there doesn't happen to be a Star Trek show on the air. so that door is not there. But in fact, in a way, that step was kind of skippable, because what that program got me, I mean, I eventually got a sale. I sold the premise to them, which was $1,000, which at the time was like a massive amount for me. But what it really got me was someone told me about the Disney Writers Fellowship. And so I technically could have done everything else the same in my career without Star Trek, as long as there had been someone along the way to tell me about the Disney Writers Fellowship, because that's what really allowed me to move to town and start doing this as a career.
Now, I'm going to stop it there.
Oh, yeah.
But that is one heck of a cool interview right there.
Yeah, it is.
We're big fans of Jane and husbands and all the work that she's doing. It's just incredible stuff. As a matter of fact, one of the prizes that we're going to be giving away at the meetup is an autographed husband's photo. So, incredible stuff. So I will include a link to the page where you can listen to the rest of that interview that Raphael Sabarge did with Jane Espenson, and just incredible, awesome stuff. So just want to give you a little taste of that. Now we're going to do another little fun audio thing. And you can't look. Don't look at the screen.
Oh.
Do not look at the screen.
Sure. Now all I want to do is look at it.
Don't look at the screen.
Okay, I'm not. But
okay,
all
I'm
I want to do is look at it.
I'm going to play this audio. And I want folks in the chat room to guess who is singing this. Let's see. Let's do this here. I got the wrong one.
Oh, serious?
She turned 34 years old today. This year's not been her best. She's been busy wiping tears away.
Yeah. Sweet as Mandy is right.
She shakes her head in disbelief.
It's Beverly Elliott.
That was going to be my guess, too.
Granny, yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
She can sing.
Could there be some explanation?
She's actually very well known for singing. Yeah.
1995. She's watching us.
So you can buy her DVD or her CDs and buy her songs. So, but yeah, I was really blown away. I was like, this is Granny. So
that's fantastic.
Really, really, really great stuff. And there's other songs on there that you can check out. And I need to close that window because it was playing other things after.
Okay, we don't want that necessarily.
Other comedy bits, and I was like, what the heck is that? So, anyhow, yeah, and that's why we do these bios, is to really kind of dig down and find out the rest of the story. You know, a lot of fans, me included, really like an actor in a role. But I think when you really kind of find out more about the actor or the actress, and where they were born, what their interests are, you really kind of get an idea more of who they are. And then also, you know, we talk about what's important to them and that kind of a thing. And tonight, I want to talk about somebody that is really fascinating, a great friend of the show, and somebody that I admire a lot. And I'm very, very happy that I follow him on Twitter, and that's Mig Macario. We're going to talk about Mig tonight, and I want to thank Carla for sending me some really cool bits of info on Mig. And, of course, he plays Bashful on Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. But the thing is he has done a lot of different things, and I do want to read a bit of an article about him that I got from a magazine online. So here we go. they're talking about some half Pinoy actors, and it makes time in this article. So another half Pinoy actor is making waves in the TV series scene in the U.S. Phil Canadian actor Meg Macario stars in three hit TV series in the U.S. with recurring roles in currently running series Fringe and Sanctuary. But according to ABC-CBN News.com report, his biggest break came when he was signed up in ABC's new hit show Once Upon a Time, which has been attracting a lot of attention recently. In this series, he takes on the role of the timid dwarf Bashful. It's all the different fairy tales that you've ever known about, but they've been cursed, he tells ABC-CBN News. It's great in the sense that it's a show that the whole family can watch, but it's really about, it's about hope. I'm going to skip ahead. It's a true blue Pinoy. Raised in Vancouver, Canada, Macario was born in Atamonan, Quezon. I'm sorry if I'm messing these up. Is the youngest of six children of Miguelito Macario, Andaluz in real life. He was named after Filipino revolutionary Macario Sacay. Pursuing his destiny as an actor in the States did not dilute his Pinoy identity. I've read up on Filipino history, he says. Although I was raised in Canada and grew up in North America, I still have really strong ties to being Filipino. And, you know, it's we forget sometimes where we live. Mm-hmm. We think this is the center of our universe. And sometimes even we hear news about other parts of the world. You know, and Mig, there was some devastating floods in the Philippines.
Recently, yeah.
I didn't know about it.
No, and I don't think I've seen any posts about it other than his. So mm-hmm. That's the only reason I know about it.
And so, you know, he started to tweet out about pray for the Philippines. And also there's a link I'm going to find that I'm going to put in the chat room and also in the show notes that you can give to help those in the Philippines affected by these. You know, this has been an incredible year of just devastating situations happening all over. But, you know, Meg, his heart is there, and he never forgets it. And so it's something that is so incredible about it. Here's something from Mig's blog. He changed his name, and so there's something I was going to read about that. So it says, well, since I'm rebranding myself professionally, possibly legally, and losing the Andaluz and the Galito from my first name, there's a lot to it. I never felt like an Andaluz, and that's the truth. I kept it because I felt obligated. When I found out that my middle name stood for Macario and only just recently was told that it was my great-grandfather's name, it only took 38 years to get that vital information about myself to be told, to me. Thanks for letting me finally know mom and dad. I always thought it was after Macario Sacay, see my earlier blogs about him, and I think it's partly was because of him as well. I also found out recently that my birthday, March 16th, was the actual day the Philippines was allegedly discovered by Magellan. Although it may have been many years since that, the Chinese and other countries were trading with the people that would eventually be known as the Filipinos. Anyway, history lesson over. I take the name Meg Macario because it's a choice to start fresh, to begin my new, my own legacy, a fresh history. Mm-hmm. I don't think my parents know what they were getting into when they decided to use Macario as a part of my name. Not that I'll never completely forget my past, but like Macario Sacay, it's a move towards independence through legal means, but I refuse to literally be executed like he did. But I know I will definitely be figuratively executed from my family in a sense because I'm breaking certain social and cultural taboos or something that my family may have made up. It's my life, and I have a right to do so. So today, Miguelito, Macario, Andaluz begins to disappear. Again, executed, if you like, happily by my own hands while Meg Macario is born. Happy New Year, new name, new life. it's a good time.
Wow.
So, fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
He is always so up and so kind and so helpful.
He's very diplomatic, too.
Yeah. It's really cool to follow him. And I told him that. And, you know, I mean, sometimes when people read things like that, they go, oh, well, that's just Jeff being whatever. But it's the truth.
No, it is true.
Because there's so much on Twitter that it's like, I'm hungry, I'm da-da-da, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. But it's so nice to see some uplifting things. I'm not saying he's the only person, but you know, in particular, that's what I see. And it's so cool. And he's done a lot of different work, and he's played a lot of different roles. And I'm going to read this from IMDb: from gang lord to Asian transgender diva spy to an overprotective Filipino father, his performances are consistently creative, courageous, and charismatic. From comedies to dramas, stage to screen, and everything in between, makes unstoppable joy, enthusiasm, and humanity. At a unique depth to any project he works on. That's the truth. As a practicing Buddhist, Meg in turn supports many youth and aspiring actors globally to realize their true potential.
That's great.
Great stuff.
That is great.
So I want to find his shows that he's been on. I can't find it now. So we vamp a little bit. Okay. Good. This is riveting. Riveting podcasting, typing, looking.
You know, 1 week off, we're rusty. What's up with that?
I know. Okay. So Mig was in 21 Jump Street with that, what's that guy's name? That Johnny Depp fellow.
That Johnny Depp dude.
Yep. 1987 and 88.
Sweet.
He was also in The Commish.
Oh, very cool.
Yep. And let's see here. Hope Island.
Okay.
And
I'm guessing a lot of Canadian productions.
Mm. Let's see. American television, a popular drama aired on BBC One.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not
PAX
American.
TV. Okay, yeah. So okay. All right. The Dead Zone. He was in The Final Cut in 2004.
Cool.
Less Than Kind in 2007. He was in The Troop, 2009. I know that show films in Canada. He was in Santa Baby 2 with Jenny McCarthy.
Yes.
And there are some, if you go to migmacario.com, there is a demo reel.
Yes, and
of
I've
his
seen it.
Work.
Oh my gosh, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a really good mix of his roles, and you kind of go, whoa, this guy's got some real depth. And then, you know, he's very well-rounded because he can play a lot of different characters.
Yeah.
So, highly recommend you check it out.
And he's in The Fringe. And Once Upon a Time, Sanctuary. And he's got an upcoming role in Fairly Legal and the show Level Up. Busy, 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 busy guy. He is the best on Twitter. He's, you know, always very interactive. And he's even really cool because he'll go offline for the weekend, you know. You know, whatever. And it's just neat that he kind of is, you know, if you're worried about me, I'm kind of off. Just
I think
I'll be back.
One of the things I really love about Mig, there's a couple things, but one of the things I really love about him is he's very accessible and he's very kind and gracious to the fans.
Yeah. 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 And he was our first voicemail call. And Colleen asked him, and he was gracious enough to call in. And one of the next most incredible voicemails was when he called in, and he really spoke to the different listeners of the show kind of personally calling out their name.
Yeah.
And, it was just amazing.
The first call-in was just him by himself.
That's right, yeah.
And then he called in a second time, like a few days later, and that was completely unsolicited. And he invited the boys, and by the boys I mean Team 7, to, you know, shout out their names and say hey to everybody on that voicemail. And that was like, I was blown away by that. I'm still blown away by that. I still think that's one of the coolest things we've ever had happen on our show. So, anywho.
Yeah. I remember I listened to the one from Meg, and it was about an hour or so before we were going to record, and I heard the second one, and I just fell over. So, it's a lot of fun just watching him on Twitter, too. So, anyhow, Meg Macario, and I hope we see more of Bashful's backstory. So we'll get a little idea because we also saw his Storybrooke counterpart at the party when Mary Margaret
got out of jail
and got that really nice card from Henry in the class.
Yes.
So anyhow, excellent, excellent. So I'll put the links up to the different sites about Meg, and just awesome. Thanks again to Carla for sending in those links and that information. All right.
Yep.
What else do we have here?
Yeah, what else do we have?
We got some quiz stuff. Oh, no, we got a bunch of stuff. Okay, so let me read the emails, and then
we have some
voicemails too.
Yeah, because I think we had some.
Yep. Okay. So this is from Michelle Pessoa, and some random thoughts and speculation for Once Upon a Time. Hi, I'm Michelle from Brooklyn. Hey, Michelle. I left you a voicemail. Oh, I think we played this, or I think we talked about it. Do you remember?
I don't know.
I think we did.
I hope so.
I think we already did.
Okay.
Right. It's been a while, and I don't think I unchecked that.
Oh, dude.
Okay. All right. And this one here, too. This is riveting.
It is. It's just, come on, it's the party. We should be partying.
Dun, That's dun, right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. So this email is from Mackenzie Jepperson, and it says, hi, first I just want to say I love the podcast, but I wanted to mention the topic of spoiler picks. So I am okay with one or two pictures because then I can theorize with my Oncer friends about what we think is going to happen in the episode. But when an enormous amount of pictures gets released on Tumblr, I think that is unfair to the show, honestly. The cast and the crew work so hard, and when people post those pictures online, it's not fair to all the hard work they put into each episode, which is why I'm so glad that there have been no pictures of Jennifer Goodwin or Jennifer Morrison that have been leaked, at least not that I have seen yet. Also, when cast members themselves tweet pictures on Twitter, that could be considered spoilers about that episode. I think that's fine because the pictures aren't taken while filming. There are pictures of cast messing around, having a good time. Sorry about the long email, but I wanted to share that with you guys. And I agree. You know, if the crew said, I don't care, you can post them all day, doesn't matter to me.
Right.
That's
right.
One thing. But if they specifically say, don't do it, that doesn't mean a spoiler tag. That doesn't mean whatever. And I want to kick the hornet's nest again. I wonder if people are getting paid for pictures like that to post on a website to get traffic.
Well, paparazzi.
I'm just asking a question.
I'm sure paparazzi are.
Just asking a question.
I'm pretty sure paparazzi are.
So.
But fans, and believe me, I don't think paparazzi are hanging out on Tumblr. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know. I'm not over there, so
Tumblr
I don't know.
Is the new thing.
I know it is the new thing, and I avoid it like the plague because it seems like it's just a free for all, and that, you know, people are a little tiny bit more conservative on Twitter. not much, but they are. Yeah. But I don't do I don't do Tumblr because there's too much crap over there that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, when people retweet out things that are pictures from Tumblr, I won't even look at it because I already know it's going to be some spoiler right. or some something right. or other. So I just ignore it.
Yeah.
So Tumblr, unfortunately, to me, is the MySpace of micro.
Ooh, I think you made a lot of enemies there. I'm going to read the next email.
And you know what? That's fine. Okay. I'm not over there, so, you know.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Okay. I'm going to read the next email now. This is from Danielle from the Netherlands. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. My name is Danielle, and I'm from the Netherlands. I just wanted to email to let you know that I love your shows. Thank you so much. I always listen to you while I'm working, and with the voice acting, I really need to watch out, not burst into laughing. I'm also a podcaster, and when the new season starts, I will also be doing a podcast about Once Upon a Time. It will be in Dutch, so unless you know the language, you won't understand it. Maybe we can do a co-podcast in two different languages.
Huh, interesting.
I've often thought about doing that. Danielle, let's talk about that. Send me an email. Let's discuss maybe a... Interesting. On the spoiler part, I agree a lot with you, but I consider casting and new characters coming into Storybrooke and Fairy Tale Land a spoiler. Why? Because then you know which direction the story will go. Imagine that when August came to Storybrooke, you didn't know that Pinocchio was coming to Storybrooke. How would your reaction be? It could be anyone, and I can't remember that I was listening to the episode and I was like, oh yeah, they totally spoiled me. These theories are just too true to be based to be wrong. Yes, it's harsh, but that was my opinion at that moment. Episode titles are doubtful since you can let your imagination go on that one. But for to me, spoilers are pictures, official videos. Yes, this includes a trailer. And since I'm from the Netherlands, I don't get to see the trailers. So this is really easy for me. Storyline news, casting news, theories based off the above. In one of the season finale of Heroes, somebody used spoilers to create a theory. Not cool. I know I'm hard on this, but I really like to go blank into the episodes. And I must admit, I changed a bit because I love your podcast so much. Well, I got to go working again. Keep up the good work. Hugs and kisses. Danielle from the Netherlands. P.S. If you want me to pimp your website, I would love to do that. Yes.
But let's
talk about this kind of... let's talk about maybe doing different sections for our podcast. That's an interesting idea. So, cool. Yeah, you know, spoilers, there's all kinds of levels. There's all kinds of people.
People have different opinions on what what is a spoiler, what is it.
Yep.
And look, I totally see the point where, you know, when you do know who a cast member is going to be, what character they're going to be, you kind of have an idea of where they're going. However, I'm going to throw this out here as a kind of a devil's advocate because I love to do that. If we had known Pinocchio was coming, would we have known it was August? Some of us would have known anyway, just because there was kind of obvious clues, at least I thought there were. But I think some people would have still maybe potentially thought that it was Dr. Whale or any number of other people, because, again, Dr. Whale would have fit very nicely with that whole theory, him being Pinocchio. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that a casting announcement is a spoiler of the storyline, because you don't know where they're really going to go with it. Because, again, remember that they're
Are you
taking...
okay?
I'm great.
Took about 2 minutes to say, okay, keep going.
Because they're not doing these stories the way we know them. So even if they'd said Pinocchio, it wasn't the Pinocchio we know. Parts of it were, but it was not the same Pinocchio. So I think... I'm just saying, you know, I do agree. I like to have, you know, surprises, and yeah, it is kind of annoying when they announce that so-and-so is going to be joining the cast and this is who they're playing. You kind of go, okay, well, would have been nice, but I don't feel like I don't feel like that personally for me. For me, me, just me, I'm talking about me. I don't think that ruins my experience or my anticipation of what's coming because, again, I don't know what the storyline itself is going to be just because I know the character. So, woohoo!
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. And, yeah, I am kind of like, woohoo, all of a sudden getting into it a little bit.
So. Yeah.
The sass is back.
Fantastic. I stay with this woman after the show's over, everyone, just so you know.
Yeah, he has to put up with this later.
Yes, yes. So D23 is announcing Disney Fanniversary celebrations in different areas of the U.S. Philadelphia, September 14th, 7 p.m., Penn Museum, Rainey Auditorium. Seattle, September 16th, 7 p.m., Seattle Public Library, Microsoft Auditorium. Atlanta, October 6th, 11 a.m. and 1:30 p.m., High Museum of Art. Dallas, October 7th, 7 p.m., Dallas Museum of Art. Horchow Auditorium. Tickets are $18 for members of D23. Okay, so D23's Disney Fanniversary Celebration explores unforgettable movies, cartoons, theme park attractions, and other Disney creations that celebrate anniversaries in 2012, including Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Disney's first ever full-length animated film, which premiered in 1937, the 1987 launch of Star Tours, Epcot's grand opening, Epcot Center's grand opening on October 1st, 1982, the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean in 67, memorable Mickey Mouse cartoons in 1937, 1927 debut of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, which actually the whole Oswald thing is really making a comeback. I'm seeing a lot of it in Buena Vista Street. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goofy's first ever on-screen appearance, the seminal science fiction film Tron, released in 1982, that I saw in 70mm. A lot of you kids won't know what that means, and that's okay. unforgettable movies like Aladdin, Pete's Dragon, Jungle Book, and Bambi. The 1972 premiere of the Main Street Electrical Parade and 92 debut of Disneyland's Fantasmic.
So I was actually at the premieres for some of those things, by the way. And no, not 1937. I'm not that old. But, and if I remember correctly...
2 seconds. General tickets that aren't for non-D23 members... are $25 beginning at 10 a.m. August 23rd. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so anywho, I was going to say, Oswald has been making a lot of comeback on Buena Vista Street because if I'm not mistaken, at one point in time, Walt didn't even have, the Disney company, Walt, whoever, lost the rights to Oswald. Mm. And then they got him back, and I can't remember what the circumstances were, but they got him back. So that's why he's. That's why you see stuff with his image and what have you on it. So, anywho.
All right. So let's see. I think. Okay. This is from Daniel. Dear Jeff and Colleen, hope your summer 2012 is going well. We had a great vacation with our kids on Cape Cod. Sunny weather and beach fun in abundance. Doing my best keeping up with your podcast during the summertime hiatus. One thing I noticed you might not have mentioned, when are the season one DVDs scheduled for release? August 28th. I'm seeing if you're awake.
Yeah, they're awake.
August 28th is the magical day that we've all been waiting for to get our...
What?
All right.
I'm sorry, lady just distracted me. She's sitting in front of the fan because it's so hot. She's just sitting there with her head just staring into the fan. It's hilarious. Anyway, yes, August 28th. Back to the party. Woohoo! What are we doing?
Yes. So, August 28th, I thought it might be toward the end of this month, but I'm not sure. Maybe before the beginning of season two, for those of us who are planning on getting the DVDs. You could have a couple of episodes dedicated to recapping season one. Pretty pleased with Sugar on Top. Ooh. Yeah, we could. It's going to be one of those. Oh my gosh. Some people will love it and some people will just hate it. So
we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
From a self-described Woody August, a.k.a. character willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to get or none. By the way, do you have any acronyms, examples, Charmers, Evil Regals, Kick-Ax, Team 7, etc. for Pinocchio? And I think August Heat for some of the ladies.
Yeah, August Heat's the big one.
And Dan said, I'll try to make it for the next live broadcast. So if you're out there, Dan, hi. Peace be with you. Thanks, Dan. So August Heat... let's see, any other ones for fans of August and or Pinocchio?
There are a few.
Woody.
I thought there was a, yeah, maybe. I thought there was a, another name for Pinocchio too, but I don't know.
All right. So let me look around. Yeah. I think whenever there's a... Now, come on, people. Hookers? Really? Really? Captain Hook fans? Hookers? Come on.
Yeah, let's not do that,
come
please.
On. I mean, just... I'm seeing that on Twitter already.
Really?
Please. Aww. Come on now.
That's too
come
bad.
On now. So anyway, yeah, hooks. Okay, that works. All right. Yep. Okay, so I've got two voicemails. We're going to go along because I want to do some quiz questions, too. So here is the first one here.
Hey, guys, it's Tyler. Just wanted to make sure that you all knew about the new series of the Disney Pop Figures. I noticed that Ima sent Lana the Ursula one, so that's what got me to remember about this. I just went to the Disney store earlier today because it's two doors down from where I work, and what do you know? The new series is available, and in it is Captain Jack Sparrow, the Evil Queen from Snow White, Grumpy, Tigger, Sorcerer Mickey, Chernabog, Wally, Eve, Cinderella, and Oogie Boogie, and the Mayor from Halloween. So that's what they've got now. Just wanted to make sure you guys know it, especially because of the Evil Queen, Cinderella, and Grumpy. Okay, talk to y'all later. Bye.
Vinylmation is a huge, huge dealio, man. They're making so many things, it's just crazy. But there's a big Vinylmation store in downtown Disney here, and I imagine there's one in Orlando, and so, and a website, and probably a podcast, and Vinylmation Anonymous for people that buy too many of them.
Yes.
So here is, I forgot to do it, but here is the link to the website to help out those affected in the Philippines.
Oh, good. From Meg,
yeah.
Oh, good. Awesome.
So there's that. I wanted to put that up there. And play one more voicemail. This is about spoilers from Tyler.
Hey, guys. It's Tyler calling again. I'm a little late on the game about spoilers. I'm listening to that episode now. But I just wanted to throw in my two cents on it. One of the things that I noticed all the time watching Stargate was that the website I went to for the podcast with them, they would tend to have spoilers, but they weren't plot spoiling. They were, oh, here's some concept art for what we might see in the next season. Oh, here's an interview with the producers saying how different this will be from the past, things like that. And those, to me, were fine. Now, I don't want to see plot spoilers. I don't want to see, you know, the clips that ABC posts a week in advance of the episode. That's fine, because they don't normally give huge things away. So those are okay with me. The things that get at me are when it gives away the entire plot of the episode. Like, I want the episode to be fresh, similar to I mean, this is the reason I go to the midnight premieres of all the movies that I actually think are going to be good and are going to be popular. I don't want to go on Twitter the next day and see 1,000 spoilers. So I always make sure that, like, Avengers, I went to it opening night, Dark Knight Rises, same thing, Brave, all these movies, because everyone I follow will talk about them. So I make sure that I watch it ASAP so that I can talk about it with them and not feel like I'm spoiling it for everybody. You know, I'm betting you guys can hear yourselves in the background because I'm still listening to your show. But I just wanted to throw that out there as, you know, one of the things I do is I just watch it right away. Every show that I really care about, unless I am working that night, I watch it the night it airs, live. If I'm working, I'll DVR it and watch it as soon as I get home, unless I'm opening the next day. So, you know, and I was going to bring up that, you know, other countries just started seeing the show not long ago. So do we have to hold off on spoilers for them? No. I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see the live tweets from the East Coast completely spoiling it for us. And it really did kind of suck having to get off of Twitter for the entire night this last year. I remember when Stargate was on, we never had those problems because it seemed like most of the Twitter accounts that were about Stargate were West Coast, or, you know, somehow they weren't spoiling it until the West Coast saw it. The other thing I found easier then was that Sci-Fi Channel had the regular and the HD channel, and in HD you were watching Eastern time, so if I really, really wanted to avoid spoilers, I'd watch it on that.
Lots of opinions.
Yes.
About spoilers.
Yes.
And how to deal with them. So I definitely felt like it was important enough to really kind of discuss. And I think hearing from someone who lives in or the area mm-hmm. of Steveston, mm-hmm. talk to the crew and has seen it from almost the beginning, I thought was very important as well, as far as everyone else kind of sharing what they think about
right.
spoilers. So,
right.
you know, it definitely it's not something that we're going to fix today. But anyhow.
And look,
so.
I mean, we have talked about this ad nauseum, but yeah. I think what we have to say is that, you know, you have to make a decision for yourself. It sucks that you have to, but unfortunately, because you can't control everybody, you can't control what somebody else is going to retweet. So unfortunately, if you don't want to see spoilers, chances are good you're going to have to stay off of Twitter. Believe me, I don't like it either, but I do. Honestly. And so it's kind of that whole thing of you just got to have to decide, okay, so I can get off of Twitter for 4 hours or I can get spoiled.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay. So let's shift gears. Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing your email thoughts, your voicemail thoughts on that. And so let's do some quiz questions and then we'll call it a night. Thank you for hanging in there with us. It's been a long show, but I think it's been one heck of a show. So, all right. So these are some desperate soul questions.
Ooh.
Initially, according to Bay, when will his birthday happen?
Ooh. Ooh, Mandy pulled it out. 3 days.
3 days. Very,
nice.
Very good. What was the smell that Emma did not like? What caused it?
We got a guess of fish or sheep crap whale, the sheep whale thing.
Okay. Yeah. What's the
Do
name
you know?
Of it? Yeah.
Lanolin.
Lanolin.
Yeah,
yep.
Ran got
yep,
the...
Yep, yep.
And Paige.
According to Mr. Gold, what is lanolin used for?
Ooh, wow. We have an anonymous use streamer who pulled out waterproofing stuff.
Waterproofing.
Nicely done.
Yep. And, you know, just to geek out, because the sheep's wool
yes.
repels water.
Yes.
So...
And that's why a lot of lotions mm-hmm. will have lanolin in it. So it's waterproofing. So when you lotion yourself, you don't get the water drying out and rinsing off the lotion.
Yep. And Desperate Souls, how long has Sheriff Graham been gone and passed away?
We got 2 days, but then it's 2 weeks. It's actually 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Nicely done.
That is correct. In the early scene, what was the background sound? This is really geeky. In the early scene, what was the background sound of Mr. Gold's shop?
Wow. I think we may have stumped everybody on this one.
This is really geeky, I'm telling you.
Got a question. A couple of them guesses are construction. No. A dog. No.
It's kind of telling with the town story.
Cuckoo clocks.
Clock ticking.
Clock ticking.
Clock ticking.
Nice.
Yeah. And what's interesting is when Emma comes in, you can hear it. When Emma mm-hmm. goes into the back ante room, you can hear it. But when she comes back out, I think she hears it's birds that kind of come in later. Hmm. Anyway,
Okay.
Okay, no more geeky questions from me on that. So, what did Mr. Gold tell Emma about her becoming sheriff? There was something specific that he told her about becoming sheriff.
Let's see. Does anybody know? Ooh, promotion is automatic after 2 weeks.
Yep. After 2 weeks of acting as sheriff, the job becomes yours. Very good.
Nice.
How long did Emma say that Henry was ducking her?
Ooh.
This is tough.
4 weeks.
Yep. Just four. F-O-R weeks. Yes.
Been ducking me for weeks. Not yep. 4 weeks.
Right.
4 weeks.
Yep. Excellent.
Nice.
Okay. Okay, Evil Regals. Let's wake up. I got a question for you.
Ooh, here we go.
You ready?
Oh, I'm as all over this. Okay. She's ready.
Did Regina ever fire Emma?
And the answer is yes.
And
all the Evil Wriggles said yes.
Right. And when? And what was the...
When she was at the station?
Right. So, the answer is
when
yes.
She tried to
Excellent.
Put on the badge. Yeah.
Right. That's right. So she took the sheriff badge, and in one fell swoop, she said, "You're fired," took the badge, I'm out. Left. And I think a lot of people actually kind of forget that because they think, well, of course she's, you know, sheriff now. But she was fired.
Technically,
then,
yeah.
Then Regina brought in Sydney to be sheriff. And then all of a sudden the discussion about the there had to be a vote. And so Emma ran for sheriff.
Yep.
All right. What was Emma destroying in Desperate Souls?
The toaster.
Yep. Excellent. What book did Mr. Gold bring to Emma and Mary Margaret's apartment? I think it's an apartment. What book did he bring?
Interesting, yeah. Ooh, Town Charter. Very
nicely
done. Town
Charter. Yep.
We got some smarty pants people in our chat room today, and in a good way.
This is tough, okay? What were the different names that Hordor called Rumpelstiltskin?
Ooh.
I got five. I'll take four. Okay.
Limpy was not one of them.
No.
Hobblefoot was.
Right.
Spindleshanks was another one.
Right.
Very nicely done. Pimp was not one of them.
No.
And there was no with a limp after that either.
No.
So we got Spindleshanks, Hobblefoot.
Right.
Okay. Now, anybody else?
I watched this scene a couple of times.
Man Who Ran?
Right. That's okay. That's three.
That's three.
There's one more.
Coward.
He inferred he was a coward, but that's not one of the names.
Chicken. He didn't call him chicken.
No. No, he kind of rolled off. There was three in a row.
What should I call you? Yellow belly?
No.
No. No. No. He did. He said Hobblefoot, Spindleshanks.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I know. The Man Who Ran, right. I know. And then it was another one. And then there was something else.
Okay, he said Spindleshanks. He said the next name, which hasn't been said yet, Hobblefoot. And then he said Rumpel, and Bay said Rumpelstiltskin. And he goes, oh, right, the Man Who Ran. But the second name, there's one more.
Wow, even I'm struggling with this one. Wow, I think you're going to have to tell everybody, because even I'm not getting this one, and I've seen Desperate Souls a number of times. For some reason, it's just...
Because we got some aces in that room, chat room.
I know.
Tordy Prism's there.
But see, Tordy says,
and I know Paige
not,
is there.
Not the favorite episode, that's
okay.
Why.
Okay, all right. Thread Whistle. That
oh,
was the
gosh.
Second name.
Wow, yep. Yeah, see, that's not terribly memorable.
Okay. Another tough one. What did Hordor say that Rumpelstiltskin didn't have? It was no this, no that, no something else.
Ooh. No land, no title. Wife, that was a guess.
Okay.
No wife, yeah.
Okay, no land and no titles, two
money,
of them.
Money, land, power. Right.
Okay.
No riches. Family.
Okay. No money. We got that. The next one we did not get. No land, no title, no power. We got those. There's a second one. There's something about the second one.
I know. Isn't that funny?
It's
not magic.
No. It.
Influence?
Yes.
Nice.
Very good.
Wow. Even Tordy, who says it's not their favorite episode, pulled that one out.
That's awesome. Good. Great. Yeah. No yeah. money.
Courage
no
is a good
influence,
guess, though, too.
No land, no title, no power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was when, you know, they're trying to say, well, what can I give you? And he goes, you have. So, what did. What did Regina tell Mr. Gold he liked to do? Be nice in the chat room. What did Regina tell Mr. Gold he liked to do in the Desperate Souls episode when they were talking in his shop? There was a phrase that she said, you like.
Ooh, trifling something. With technicalities.
That's it.
Perfect. Holy cow.
Great.
Wow, Paige pulled that out.
That's great.
Wow.
I told you we got aces in the
chat
room.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do.
Okay. According to Mr. Gold, what isn't Regina's style? Again, in that conversation in Mr. Gold's shop.
Subtlety.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Paige has seen this episode a few times.
I think so.
A few.
All right. Two more questions. What did Rumpelstiltskin call or allude to the meaning of the red in the sky?
Ooh. And that one I know, but I won't say anything. Blood.
Right. Okay.
Blood of our children, blood of our people.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he said the blood of our people, the blood of children, the blood of children like you. Okay.
Nice.
Great. Great. One more from Hat Trick. Switch gears.
Ooh, switch gears, people.
What did Jefferson say that Grace had to find mushrooms?
In other words, what did he say she had to use to find the mushrooms?
Right.
A nose?
Yes. Her nose. Her nose to find
nice.
Mushrooms.
That's
so,
awesome.
You know, yeah, you may want to file some of these little weird
things away.
Mm-hmm. away to
yep.
later on. Maybe they'll come into play. And that's a lot of it I do just because things kind of stick out to me. But I think things may be used later. So awesome time. Awesome show. We had a worldwide listen to. show tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Met Stella from Thailand. I want to thank her. Yep. I don't know if she's still in the chat room, but I want thank her. Paul popped by.
Yep.
I know there's probably a number of Disney folks that have popped by.
We had some guests that I didn't know who they were, but they were chatting up a little bit, and that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Oh, and Paul's still there.
Excellent. Excellent.
Sweet.
So thanks so much, everyone. I want to send big love out to everybody.
Yep.
This is all for you guys. There's some secret plans I have that we're working on that are going to blow your mind. There's a first coming that's a first that no one has done yet, and we will do.
That's awesome.
That's all I'm going to say.
And don't forget, the meetup is coming up in a few weeks,
yep.
And we're putting the schedule together. We have a better idea of what we're doing.
Yep.
We just got to finalize a few details for it. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
And we are going to be, it's going to be awesome.
Bring your walking shoes. It's probably going to be a little warm. So,
maybe not. I mean, okay. It's really all warm right now, and it's supposed to cool back down again. So we don't know what the weather's going to be like. So keep an eye on it.
I did want to say this. Friday night is an optional kind of a little get-together time.
Right.
If folks are arriving in and you're not, like, zoned out, and you maybe want to have a little grub or something.
Yeah. I may be able to show up for a short period of time on Friday night, but I have a release that night. So I will be working on Friday night late into the evening, in the morning hours. Seriously, it's not like my normal releases. So I will very likely be up pretty darn late. But Saturday, Sunday, all day, I'm on it. And it is going to be a blast.
I want to say one more thing and then that's it. Is we're going to do our best to have a schedule that is fairly set in stone. But I'm telling you, if surprises happen, we may be making some changes.
Right,
that's really all I can say. And I'm not trying to be weird and silly and secretive or whatever. But I'm anyway, so that's that. Thank you again so much.
Yep.
Like I said before, I never, ever, ever take anything for granted. Thank you so much for being here, for being a part of what we're doing. It's much more than a podcast. I've always said that, and I still believe it today.
Yes.
So we will be talking to you soon.
And we're doing live show as usual next week.
Yep.
So we're good to go.
Have a great week, you guys. Keep in touch. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.